This morning, what I wanted us to do was, I wanted us to take a moment before we even start the church service for praying for those in Connecticut. So we all know what is going on there and devastating, just totally devastating, but we know who is behind the devastation. One thing I also want to pray for is that we will, that our freedom will not be taken away from this. The freedom, the right to bear arms. And so we know that evil will have a way no matter what. And so I just want to pray for this whole situation. So I would appreciate it if you would take, join me in taking time to pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up this situation in Connecticut, Lord God, with each of the families of these 20 precious children that are now with you, Lord God. We ask and pray that you will be with the loved ones, because it may not even be a family member. With all the school children that are there, with all the staff and the volunteers, Lord, this is affecting so many. I pray that you will be with all of those, with all the funerals and memorial services that will be taking place. I pray that you will be with the situation in regards to the finances of something that shouldn't even have been. I pray that you will be with other family members of the son who killed himself and the mother who was killed, Lord, the teacher. I ask and pray that you will be with this whole situation. I pray, Lord God, too, Lord God, that you will just continue to help us to be able to protect ourselves, to have that freedom, the right to bear arms, to not use the situation in a way that would take that right away from us. But, Lord, instead to have that right, because any evil, it wasn't the gun that did it. It was the person, and it wasn't even really the person. It was the evil behind. So, Lord, I ask and pray, Lord God, that you will help people to see that. And instead, Lord God, to turn to you. You are good and righteous, pure and love and truth, healing and restoration and strength and comfort, Lord. And that is where we need to draw from. So, Lord, I ask and pray that you will turn this all out together for your good, for your glory, Lord God, and the lives that are affected by this. Lord, that it'll help us all to draw to you, but we need your hand upon this situation, Lord. So I pray that your hand will be upon this situation in a mighty way. I thank you and praise you for honoring the prayers that are being lifted up upon this situation. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And we thought this would be the perfect time for me to let you know that we are organizing on January 5th is National Day of Prayer for Schools. And so we're going to be organizing a group here. I'm going to be calling the different churches to see if they would participate in that, that we go to our local school right there on Wiles. And I'll be talking to the principal to see if we can even get in on the grounds. If someone's there, but if not, we're going to walk around. We can stand by certain classrooms, the administration building, any entryway that we can see. We can just lift our hands and pray right there. So that's January 5th. I believe it's the first Saturday of January. So we're going to be organizing that. We'll let you know what time to meet. It may be that the principal lets us know what time we can be there. But again, I'm going to be calling the different churches and letting them know about it too. So be in prayer about that when I talk to the churches and to the principal.
Hi, Alyssa. Worship of the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this service, Lord, that you brought us to, Lord Jesus, that we may hear from you, receive from you. Mm-hmm. And Lord Jesus, that we may reach out through prayer to the ones that we need to reach out to, Lord Jesus, these families in Connecticut. Lord, bless the service. Bless the speaker, Lord, that her words will be anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring forth what you have for us to say today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
I've asked Barbara to read the opening scripture, but we're going to start a new little tradition. I really want us to stand up during this opening word, yeah, in honor of him. No, you don't have to stand, Barbara. You don't have to stand. I understand you don't have to stand, but okay.
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
And that's Matthew 23:12. Thank you, Barbara. Okay. And then we can sit down. Thank you.
Yes, you can sit down. But now that we're starting worship, I'm going to ask you to stand. Oh, are you enjoying the cold weather?
No.
Is it helping to realize that Christmas is here?
No.
Oh, it is to me. Okay, thank you, Debbie, for that. And but what does that make you realize in your heart? This is a perfect time to lift up Jesus, isn't it? It even seems natural that when we go and we see people and they're buying presents and all of the like the giving trees that are around and the different things you see that you can buy for someone, and it just makes people more generous this time of year, and they're in the spirit of giving, and it's that opportunity that you can share with them the promise that was given to us during this season.
Thank you. Thank you. Psalm 34 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will boast in the Lord. Let the oppressed hear and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's praise his name together. I sought the Lord's help and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help are happy, and their faces are not ashamed. Our offering is a part of our worship. So as we give our tithes and our offerings this morning, we just lift them to you, Father God. We lift them to you with a pure heart, pure mind, Father, with no offense against anyone, lest you will not receive. But Father God, we approach the altar. We ask you for cleansing and holiness and purity as we give this morning with our whole heart unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
Am I doing it? Okay, now I'm on. Okay, I'm good. All right, so that means it's recording. So that's a good thing. It's good. It's good. So we are going to be on the character trait number 11 today in that from the Irresistible Church by Pastor Wayne Cadero. And that 11th character trait of an irresistible church, which means really basically we are irresistible unto God. And it's entitled Humbles Itself. The Irresistible Church Humbles Itself. So in other words, we walk humbly. So together we are walking humbly as we are all part of the body of Christ. Now remember we started off with pray and the importance of prayer in September. And then the first trait was seeking God, be hungry for him. The second trait was remembering who we are, our identity in Christ. We are Christ followers. We are joint heirs. We are part of the royal family. And we are warriors, soldiers for Christ. And we are the bride of Christ. We have an awesome inheritance. We have an awesome identity. We have awesome power in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Trait number three, live heart first. In other words, we are living God's heart in us and through us, but we have to allow ourselves to be open up to Him, to allow His love to continuously come in, His heart to continuously be in us, and then extending that heart to others. And then we went on with a couple other Sundays, and then we went to trait number four, practicing gratefulness. Constantly having that grateful heart for everything that He gives us, just as we do with our tithes and offerings unto Him. We are so grateful for everything He gives us. And then trait number five, promoting healthy relationships. Okay, forgive, 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 forgive. Forgive yourself, forgive others, forgive. No magma buildup, no volcanoes. No, 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 no. Cool down by the power of forgiveness. And then we have trait number six, resolving to always keep learning. Constantly. There's so much we can learn and so much we can apply. Not only from nature we can learn things and animals we can learn that God created. God created everything. So we can learn from that. Continuously learn how to be better at this, do this, how to help us with this. Continuing to have that learning. That student type personality, that student type drive to constantly be learning. But in that, we want to have it also with applying as the next character trait, the trait number seven, spiritual self-feeding. So in that, we are constantly learning in practical ways and to help us, but also then spiritually. See, we're fed on Sundays, and you're going to get fed with the Word, and you're going to get fed with the pure Word. The truth. No compromising here. But on your own, you need to also continue to feed. Because we have the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. And He's the one that's continuously teaching. And then we have the character trait number nine, choose to love. It's a choice. Because it's easy to love the lovable. It's not so easy to love the unlovable. And sometimes in families, we have to choose to love. Because sometimes in families, even in church families with Christians, we're imperfect and we have to choose to love. We have to choose to forgive one another. And then we have to take risks according to obedience to the Lord God. Because often His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so in obedience to Him, we're going to be taking risks. We're not going to understand always what He is asking us to do or not to do. And that's taking a risk. But He honors that obedience. Today, the irresistible church humbles itself. So I would appreciate it if you, once again, would turn to Luke chapter 1. You will see how God has shown these past traits that we are to have in the Christmas story in December. We used it in to choose to love. We used it in to take risks. And we will use it now to walk humbly, humbling itself. I would appreciate it if you would turn to verse 13. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, for he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children to Israel, to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, a spotless bride of Christ." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Then we go on to verse 26. Now, in Elizabeth's 6 months of pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one! The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And then we go on to verse 42. And Elizabeth has seen Mary, who came to visit in obedience to the leading and then of the Lord through the angel. Then when Elizabeth sees Mary, she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Then we go on to see in Luke chapter 2, verses 1, And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Remember how we went over the words that Elizabeth means God's promise. God is generous. And then Mary means wise woman. See, we are called to be married, Marys, and we are called to be Elizabeths. We are wise in choosing to carry Jesus out to the world. and we are generous as we pour out our love to Him, the love that we have received from the Father. We are His hands and His feet, His action to others. And we are generous in helping them to know Jesus, helping them to be prepared for the return of the Lord, for He is coming, just as John the Baptist had them prepared for when He was coming. We are Elizabeth's. We are Mary's. We are choosing to be wise and generous with God's love, His gift. And John was precious too. John meant God has been gracious. See, we are showing that grace to others as we are Elizabeth carrying John to them, helping them of His grace, helping them to know of His grace and that Jesus is coming again. And Zechariah, God has remembered. If we ever think that it's been too late, that something that we believe that God has given us, a dream, or if we're too old to be able to continue to be servants for God, we are never, ever too old. God is never done with us until He chooses to take us home. So that could be the return of Christ. Much prophecy has been fulfilled. Some say all prophecy has been fulfilled. So therefore, Jesus can return. Others debate on that. But whether Jesus returned right now, or whether we go on, or whether the Lord decides to somehow, our last breath is here on earth, many things happen, many ways, accidents happen, and then we're right there with the Lord. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. See, we here are ready. All of us have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but there are many out there who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we are chosen to be the Marys and Elizabeths to take that out there. But in order to do this, we need to be humble. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He, our Lord Jesus Christ, died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." It's not about us. It's about Him. And it's about reaching those who do not know Him. And it's about encouraging and helping those who do know Him to continue on and persevere with what He's given them, to not give up, to help them and be encouraged to know that God has remembered them too, just as He did Zechariah's. And that maybe when we have a time of barrenness and God has spoken to us and there's a promise, it will come to pass. It's not up to us, it's up to God. God knows our heart's desire. Is our heart's desire to truly please Him? To truly be living for Him? If it is, then we will have that humble heart, that humility. See, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And it goes on to verse 29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." As Mary's song said in Luke 1, 54 and 55, it says, "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This is full of our promises, full of His love, full of His power and strength, full of His hot bread from heaven for each and every one of us. But are we going to have it hot? Because if we aren't going to take it with humble hearts, receiving it, allowing ourselves to be fed, allowing ourselves to be taught, allowing ourselves to be corrected when needed, allowing ourselves to be learning so that we can be empowered. See, this is part of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, the armor of God. We cannot be prepared. Our feet cannot be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace unless we are in this. And it's not just on Sundays. That ain't going to do it. How would you like to eat once a week? Would you be strong and healthy? Physically? No. But this is our living water, which we need. And this is our hot bread, the bread that has all the nutrients of everything that we need, strengthen us to continue on each and every day. So we can be the Marys and Elizabeths that God has called us to be. Remember, men, I told you that just as we can be the sons of God, you can be pregnant and carry. Now, we need to look at some scriptures on humility. I'm going to say several, so you might want to just write them down or just listen. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 to 4. I'm going to do it from the King James Version. When I was researching and stuff, I normally do like New King James Version or the Amplified, but I just love the way it was saying it in the King James Version. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, humbled. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Psalms chapter 9, verse 12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, when he, in other words, avenges blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. So I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty good reason to be humble. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And then Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. It shall retain them. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our Lord God cares for each of us. We are special to him. Precious, these special scriptures on humility, many more examples. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 says, do good to please God, in other words, this is entitled. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. See, that's true humility. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I want to read to you it from the Message. Just verse 1, where it says, "Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding." And I thought that was really cool. Can I have a Kleenex, honey, please? So I have the nose that is running, and you can't catch it. So you'll have to excuse me. Thank you for a second. But I just thought that was really neat. Now, I was one that loved to bless people when they didn't know. And, I mean, I still do. When I was younger, I loved to bless people. And this one, it wasn't my intention for anybody to know, but my brothers were in baseball, and so baseball season was just, you know, crazy. I had three brothers, and my dad was the coach and the manager. And so in that season, it was just baseball practice games. And this time, I didn't want to go to a baseball practice or a game, even though I loved baseball. I wanted to stay at home, and I was, I think, in seventh grade, and I wanted to clean the fridge out for my mother and do the dishes and do some just nice things for her. And when I was cleaning a glass, it popped and it broke, and I had a cut all the way, and I was just bleeding, and I still have the scars. So I was like, you know, in shock for a moment, like, what do I do? It was very deep. And so I grabbed a dirty dish towel and went over to the neighbor across the street, because, you know, this is no cell phones back then. You had one phone dial, you know. And she was actually a nurse, and so she drove me, and we found where my mother was. And then I had to go to emergency and get stitches. And they were telling me not to use my hand, but I was right-handed. How do you do school without being able to write? And I didn't want to get behind, because then that would mean I wouldn't keep my straight A average. And so I just was like writing with it, and then it didn't heal. So it was really kind of cool when they took the stitches out, because you could see your layers of skin. And it was really, yeah, it was really neat. So then it had to kind of like heal on its own. But then I had more of a scar. But it was just, my intentions were to not be known, to bless my mother. Instead, I caused more hassle. But God knows, and he could take care of those situations. But we see the Christmas story. Do you think that they were chosen because they were exalting themselves? I mean, can you imagine Elizabeth and Zacharias all those years faithfully loving God and serving him, faithfully being there, faithfully loving one another? He could have gotten another. He could have just dismissed her. I mean, she was barren. That was not good. But he chose to be faithful in his position and faithful to her, faithful to God, even though they were scorned, ridiculed. Scars that they shone in their hearts, maybe. But they would present those scars to God, and he would heal them. And then one day he was remembered. And then she was blessed with John to bring to the world, to prepare the way of that promised Messiah. He remembered. And then Mary. Oh, she was one that was always excited. I mean, they were all excited. Ooh, who's going to be the one that is chosen to bring the promised Messiah here? And then Mary is chosen, not of a royal family. Everybody was thinking, oh, it'll be somebody of high stature, of a high rate, somebody famous, as we would call it. But instead, God saw those behind the scenes, those little gestures of noticing mother needed some water and going to the well in the hot of day, noticing that her sister needed help, or a cousin noticing something that was in the road and picking it up and moving it. helping clean up without being asked. Here, opening the door for somebody, offering a seat, helping clean up, helping bring a dish to somebody who doesn't even ask. God nudges your heart and you send a card to somebody. God nudges your heart to pray for somebody. Ooh, no one even knows that one. God nudges your heart to send some money without a return address. That is humility. That is an act of humbleness. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2 says, "Let another praise you, and not your own lips, your own mouth." No, someone else. Someone that is not of your own lips. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." See, we're not supposed to be prideful, because everything that we are, everything that we do is only because of him. Because we can do nothing except for him. And the good that is here, it is only because of him. So, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, this one was a precious scripture that I was just praying and claiming almost daily for many, many years, because I needed a little bit of help on this. See, Joyce Meyer said she needs help on this one too, because she said that she hasn't gone through a day yet where she hasn't complained, but she's working on it. That takes humility. See, remember the verse 12 where it says, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Well, I love the NLT. And these are verses 12 through 16 in Philippians chapter 2. And the second part of verse 12, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. There is judgment. We will be accountable for what we say, for what we do, for what we think. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. And that means within the church body, within the church family. See, that's where we need to have that motto that Amy Semple McPherson had for the Four Square denomination. In essentials, unity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In non-essentials, liberty. One cup, multi-cup for the Lord's Supper. That's an example. But in all things, charity. His love in us and through us to others. So, we go back to do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud. Another version says, I will rejoice that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. See, that proud is a rejoicing. Just like you're proud of your child when they learn to walk. You're proud of your child when they do kindergarten graduation. You're proud of your child when they graduate from high school. You're proud when you graduate from high school. So, and that's not a prideful thing. It is like a rejoicing, like, wow, I did it. Yes. But then, you know, I did it because of him. Giving him the glory, him the honor. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The New Living Translation from the Living Recovery Bible, the Life Recovery Bible, it says, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. I remember when I was reading this and looking this up, I was going, Lord, what does bow mean? And he had me look up these, he woke me up very early one morning, and this was a few years ago, And he had me look up a couple words in the dictionary to understand this a little bit better. Bow, as we think, right? We're bowing. Well, it's a verb. It's an action. It's something we are choosing to do. We are not made to do it. It is not an involuntary action. It is something we are doing purposely. It says to bend the head or body in respect, in agreement, in worship, in recognition. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, continues on, to yield or submit as to authority, to bend the head in respect, in prayer, to indicate agreement, thanks by bowing, the grateful heart, because we're bowing to Him, before Him, because we are dependent on Him. We are admitting that. And then He will lift you up and give you honor. God had me look that up. Honor is a noun. It is something we have received. High regard and great respect given, received and enjoyed. Remember Mary? Remember Elizabeth? They were chosen. They were highly favored. We are too. As we bow down to Him, humbly submitting to Him, dependent on Him, He then has chosen us to be the Marys and the Elizabeths out there. Each and every day, 365 days a year, spreading the Christmas story to others. Because in that Christmas story contains the resurrection story. The power of the resurrection, of what that Christ child did for us. Honor, high regard, or great respect given, received or enjoyed, a good reputation, a credit, a keen sense of right and wrong. We are going to get that through His word, through Him in us. Adherence to action or principles considered right. Integrity. To conduct oneself with honor. High rank or position. We are part of the royal family. We have the authority in Jesus' name, by the power of His blood, by the power of the resurrection. That is ours. Everything that's the Lord's is Jesus's. Everything that Jesus is the Holy Spirit's. Everything that the Holy Spirit is ours. To glorify Him, not us, to glorify Him. A title of respect given to certain officials. We are God's ambassadors. A person or thing that gives respect to a school, a country. The kingdom of God. Verb, to do or give something in honor of. See, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are working for the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. No, humility, humble before Him, but for Him who died for them and rose again. It's not about us, it's about Him, and it's about others. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we now know Him, thus no longer. Yet now we know Him, thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we all know this one. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Why? Because remember one of the character traits? Connecting everything to a soul. Because everybody is either on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. And even those who are on their way to heaven need help and encouragement. That is why he tells us to not forsake the fellowship of other Christians. We are there to help each other, to encourage each other, to pray for one another, to love each other, to forgive each other, to build each other up, to be his hands and his feet to Christ followers and non-Christ followers. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. He is passionately pursuing those who do not know him, but he is passionately caring for those that do know him. Through us, we are his ambassadors. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. This is part of the Great Commission. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 says, submit to God, resist the devil. See, in other words, we're in a battle here, but it is by ambassadors with that stamp by his blood over us, on our ring as kings and queens. We are ambassadors for him. We have the power of his name that was dipped in blood. We have the power of his resurrection. And this is what we are walking in as ambassadors, but we're in a battle zone. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. As John 10:10 says, because the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why are Christians walking around weak? Many are weak because they are not having humble spirits. They are not walking humbly. They are not walking fully with humility. Humility is the opposite of pride. I want to read to you something. Pride is two-sided. And what some linguists would refer to as a happy coincidence of the language, the English word pride portrays both sides of pride. In the middle of pride is always I. On the left side is the kind of pride we are used to, which is personal reputation, PR, personal reputation. Pride bolsters and protects its personal reputation. The other side of pride, however, is not as well known and actually masquerades as humility. In fact, we often refer to it as false humility. That is the DE of pride, devalued estimation. Devalued estimation occurs when we do not submit to God's will and thankfully and fearlessly accept what he has done for us. Paul's humility shines brightly when he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul accepted who he was and the ministry God gave him. Remember when the Apostle Paul had that visit with the Lord on the road to Damascus? And then when Ananias is told to go to Straight Street and to go and pray for the Apostle Paul. And he's like, excuse me, do you know? Like he's out to get us, Christians, Christ followers. And God says, yes, obey me. And he does. This is an ordinary man, but he humbles himself to God's will, a little bit fearful, but yet trusting God, and goes and prays for the man that had orders to put him in prison. And he goes and prays over him. And he says, though, don't worry. See, I've spoken to the Apostle Paul, and I've told him what is going to happen, why, what call I have put on his life, and what he's going to go through. But the Apostle Paul was willing to surrender that. And the only way that he was able to was by the power of the love, the power of that humility. He knew what it was like to honor authority. He knew the Word of God, the Old Testament. And he was going to be part of writing the New Testament through challenges. Was it easy? No. But he was willing to humble himself for the Lord. He was willing to give up what he desired, his plans and his purpose, just as Mary was willing to give up her dream of having her first child with her husband, Joseph. But instead, being willing to be that one chosen by God, knowing that it was going to be ridicule and humility. It was not going to be easy. Joseph also humbling himself and not being the first child is not his, but it is the Lord's. And waiting to be able to consummate his marriage of his wife, whom he loved very much, until after that child was born. That is an act of humility. That is an act of what we all should be doing. Our church is powerless because we are not willing, many, I should say, not all, are not willing to be that humble servant. I want to remember how that I said the devil is active, right? And the devil's chief characteristic is pride. Why was he thrown down from heaven? Pride. We need to remember that. So do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. 1 John 3:13, when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are truly humbled to being his servant, if you are truly going out there wanting to reach others for Christ, wanting to share Christ with others, then you're not always going to be received well. You will find persecution too. But are we really burning for the hearts? For those who are out there who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Are we praying for the persecuted church? Are we praying for our country to return back and to repent for the Lord God? To be number one. To be that country under God. It is not happening right now. Can you imagine how blessed we would be if we really were everyone, or at least the majority of Christ's followers? Wow. The violent behavior of the world causes many Christians to squelch their obedience to God and thus their humility. As was pointed out earlier in an article, it takes great inner strength and confidence to be humble. Weak and fearful people are almost never truly humble because they submit to their weakness instead of submitting to God. Thus, often because of fear or a dislike of conflict, many Christians do not openly express their love, devotion, or thanks to their Heavenly Father, even though he greatly deserves it and would love to have it. Humility takes courage. We have to rise up and have that faith and courage like we see the Apostle Paul had. But he only did it by relying, totally dependent upon the Lord. I want to read to you that story. Remember Jennifer Miller that I told you about? That God directed her also to do the blood covenant breaking on the ground in the village in Africa. We're getting into a very dark time in America. And that is why we did the blood covenant over three times here in obedience to the Lord. I'm not doing this to try to scare you. I'm doing this to tell you that this is what's going to be happening. And it's going to get darker. And that is why we need to be encouraging one another and be in this word. But I want to encourage you with this story of hers. Remember, she was being obedient to the Lord. And if we're being obedient to God, we are going to have attack. We'll be in spiritual warfare. That's why it is so important to be having the armor of God on. She, remember, when she was doing that, Satan knew that she was on assignment to break the blood covenant, the ancestral covenants that were not of the Lord. And he was going to break it by his blood covenant, the new blood covenant, through his son, Jesus. So her life was trying to be taken. She was in the hospital, very, very ill. She almost died. And then when she was in a home recovering, she says, I left the hospital and was recovering in the guest house where I was staying. One night, I heard five guys talking. I heard the voice of the devil say, I told you that I am going to destroy you. I have sent five men to rape and kill you. Suddenly, these men started to break into my little house. I was stricken with fear. The Lord said to me, hurry up and decide if you're going to react with fear or faith. Your life depends on it. We are going to have to choose. Are we going to react with fear or faith? Remember, that's why I'm continuing to have this here. All we need is the faith of a mustard seed. Because it is not based on us. It is based on him. And if all you're doing is crying out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my weakness of faith. He is there. Just as he healed that son, he knew that father had that mustard seed faith. And this is what we need in these days to come. But we need to not give up. So she responded, God, I have no idea how you're going to get me out of this, but I choose faith. Immediately, all these Bible verses started coming back to me. As I started quoting them, faith started to flood my heart. Fear completely left my body. I was so consumed with faith that I jumped out of bed. At that point, I completely understood who I was as God's child. I was 100% convinced that if these men stepped foot in my room, that God would strike them dead. There was no doubt in my mind. I actually felt sorry for them. Now, this is kind of funny. I rushed to a window and saw three men at the window and two at the door. As I was walking, I slipped on a plastic bag on the floor and fell back unconscious. But God was in charge. He said, I'll take care of this. The noise of my fall freaked the men out. Motion lights were set off and the dogs started barking. They all were all afraid and ran off. I believe that if I would have chose fear instead of faith, it would have been an open door for the enemy to come in. Now, she chose faith. It cost her an unconsciousness and a big knob on the head. But she chose faith. And God took care of that situation. As we choose faith, as humble servants to him, connecting everything to a soul, willing to speak out his truth in love, speak out his voice. Speak out his justice here. To not give up. To persevere. But with that mustard seed faith, that's all we have to do is choose him as humble servants unto him. With humility, walking step by step with that humbleness of heart. The rest is up to him. Because we are his. So, in this, I have an assignment. I did this barefoot last night. Here's my feet. I was thinking, Lord, see, Jesus went, and I want to wash their feet. But then I thought of something else. So I need you to hand these out. Ray, would you hand some out? Two per person. Two per person. Two per person. I want you to do both of your feet. Can you help, Carl? Dan, Paul, can you help by sending out these markers? If you want to do a pen your own, you can. But we have a little assignment. See, remember the words that God gave our church? Believe, harvest, reach. Reach meaning the acronym for R is reveling in God's presence. E is encouraging others. A is alleviating distractions. C is committed to service, having a servant's heart. And H is honoring God and honoring others. We have a vital assignment. And pride distracts. We need to alleviate that distraction. We need to remember those acts of humility, walking humbly, those acts of hidden service, remembering our mission, the Great Commission. We need to remember the repentance of remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations because of that Great Commission. See, integrity and worth ethics when no one is around, doing everything unto the Lord as Colossians 3 talks about. That's humility. How we handle credit. See, remember, we don't seek people to praise us. We seek to be praised and worshiped by Him. He loves us. We seek to be well-pleasing to Him. And He's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. I saw that. I heard that prayer. I saw that action. I saw that turning the other cheek. I saw that turning the cheek again. I saw that act of love to the unlovable because I love them. I created them out of love. And my power is greater than the way they are right now. My power can transform them. But I thank you that you are my hands and my feet to extend my love to them because I'm passionately pursuing them until they recognize the blinders are taken off just like they were for you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the way our church is today. This is what we need to be. So I want you to take those. And if you can't, I want you to, if you can, please draw your feet. Trace your feet with your shoes on. That's fine. Trace your feet. I want you to trace your feet because there's something I'm going to be doing to you. So I'd like it. If you can't, honey, can you go around? And if there's anybody that can't do it, can you trace their feet for them, please, for me? I would appreciate it. See, remember what the word said. Because I know it's not always easy. So I want us all to, we have to have, so Paul, you can do it. But it says, receive what I am about to do. This is God's word to us. Receive what I am about to do for Pathway of Hope and a Woman of the Truth Ministries, an extension, a non-denominational extension of Pathway of Hope, will be called a house of prayer. It would be called a healings and a salvation center. I will dwell there as my daughter welcomes my spirit in these services. I constantly am praying that God's spirit will be here. See, remember, it is we are here to bring fame to His name. John 14, remember when Jesus said, you will do even greater things than I do? But He says, you ask in my name so that I will bring glory to the Father. It's not for Jesus' glory, it's for the Father's glory. We need to believe the word that was given to us, trust in, rely on, have faith in His word. We need to live, not just talk, but truly live by walking the talk of His great commandments for the harvest of souls, by reaching, reveling in God's presence, encouraging others, alleviating distraction, committing to that heart of service, honoring God, honoring others, reaching others with His truth, which is filled with His heart, with His love, for this is the only pathway of hope for all mankind. We will, yes, we will glorify God as we love, trust, and obey Him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth, and set the captives free by being a light for Him and the community. Remember the word loving others, loving God, loving others, nothing more, nothing less. That was the first word to our church when we planted. Then it was, we will glorify God as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him to do His perfect will in this imperfect world. And then this is how we will continue on. We are continuing on with His power, with humble hearts. See, Jesus went and He washed the feet of His disciples, preparing them to be the apostles, preparing them to carry out the word. Would you hold your feet? And then I'm going to anoint your feet, and I am going to anoint your hands. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to do it. We are God's chosen servants, humbling ourselves before Him. We are His. We are not our own. We are His. We are His hands and feet. We are to live for Him, not for ourselves. We thank the Lord with grateful hearts, constantly committed to Him, constantly serving Him, constantly loving Him, constantly obeying Him, constantly. We are His. We are His, chosen by Him because He loves us. He loves us and wants us to be. It's okay. I want both feet. I know. I'm sorry. I think you want both feet working. Yeah. So we love the Lord and we are His. See, it's going to take us to be continually strong in His word. That is where, remember, she chose faith over fear. What happened? All of a sudden, scriptures started coming flooding into her. Why? Because she was in the Word. She was being fed daily in the Word. Being fed by, oh, you're so cute. You're so funny. So being fed daily in the Word. That is how. She had that hot bread of heaven. This is called Bethlehem oil. This is what I'm doing. There's a purpose, there's a rhyme and a reason in everything that I've been led by the Lord to do for each and every one of you. Amen. See, we have chosen to be His humble servants when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to love Him and obey Him. We are His hands and feet to others. We are not our own. We are His. It is not about us. It is about Him. And all it takes is that mustard seed faith. He knows us. He understands us. He knows those that He will be having divine appointments for us to reach, because He has chosen us to be His hands and feet. Oh, you're so funny. I will. Now, we're going to have our prayer altar time. It is with Chris. But I'm going to sing to you, so I'm going to turn this mic off.